up at me. Don't get quiet now. Now we know this is not the time to get quiet. Come on, smile up at me. Wave at me. Let me know you're doing okay. Good to see you this morning on this winter morn, and thank you for being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. If you have a Bible on your phone or tablet, however you access the scripture, follow along with us as we study the Word of God. While you're turning to Ephesians 4, I just want to mention as well that we're planning another water baptism. We had one in January, and as we mentioned, we had an individual who was unable to be part of that day in January, and so we're going to schedule another one. And if you would love to be baptized, or if you've not understood it, or if you have questions about it, we'd love to be the one to talk with you and the privilege to be able to be a part of that experience. So there's in the connection card, you can fill that out or you can contact the office and we would be happy to help you as we move forward with this baptism service. Now we introduced on Wednesday night on our first Wednesday this past week. And by the way, if you've not been part of the first Wednesdays, I want to really challenge you to commit that first Wednesday. I know it's hard when there's all the Wednesdays, and now that we just have the first Wednesday and the life groups, we've asked you to really just connect to a first Wednesday and a life group. And first Wednesday this past week, we introduced the theme for the month of February. Our focus for the month of February is going to be on the family. And we introduced the overall theme for the month of February called the healthy family. The healthy family. And how many know that there are no perfect families? Come on, you could say amen to that. There are no perfect families, but God wants us to be healthy as a family and wants our families to be healthy. And while families are very diverse today, you know, sometimes you have two parents, sometimes there's a single parent, sometimes you get grandparents raising children, and families look differently, and there's different types and different makeups of different family units. But on Wednesday, we shared with you the 10 characteristics of a healthy family. And Judy was kind enough to take the notes and make it into a bookmark that's in your bulletin. And then also what we've done is we've recorded the CD of Wednesday night where we talked and we went through these 10 characteristics of a healthy family. If you would like one of those, you can, how are we going to do that? You're going to see Sue. Sue, raise your hand over here. You can see Sue on the way out. She's usually at the welcome desk there. And Sue will have the CDs. You can take them. We've made enough copies that anyone can have them. We feel very importantly about that. We did an extensive amount of research in reading different books and resources, Christian and non-Christian alike, and really studied a lot of material on family. And then, of course, we focused on the Word of God. And as we compiled some things, even from our experience of a pastor for 32 years, we put together this list of 10 characteristics, regardless of the makeup of your family, regardless of how your family is constructed. These 10 characteristics are very important, and we want you to have that. So get the CD, and there's the bookmark in there that lists them, but get the CD and listen to that and be part of that. And so basically Wednesday night was the first part to this focus on the healthy family. Wednesday night was the description. What are the characteristics? What is the description? How do you describe a healthy family? And they're very practical principles. Now, this morning, I want to move to the second part of our study on a healthy family. And while we looked at the description, what are the characteristics, this morning, I want to talk about the prescription for a healthy family. We know that, as I said, that God wants our families to be healthy. And I also understand that none of us are perfect, and we all face times when we need to find some healing in our family. We need to find some help. And while none are perfect and none will live up to all of the 10 characteristics, and we set that as a guide, and a scripture gives us a guide on how we should strive for the things we should be working on. But we all realize that we're all flawed and we all have mistakes and we all make mistakes. And so God gives us a prescription that brings healing to our family. And here's the main focus this morning. Here's here's what we call the big idea, so to speak, for this message this morning. What's the main premise? What's the main focus? What's the big idea for today's message as we talk about the prescription? And it's simply this statement. All families experience hurt, and all families can experience healing. You know, it's okay to be honest and say that we all experience hurt. Sometimes we hurt the people closest to us the most. Come on, you can say amen to that. Why? Because we live together. We're in the grind together. You know, when you share a bathroom with someone, you're going to hurt. Oh, come on. When you live in tight quarters with people, how many know you're going to make mistakes and things are going to happen? All families experience hurt. And yet all families can experience healing. There's a prescription. God gives us a prescription for how we can heal the hurts that take place in our families, because there are no perfect families. And so that's our focus this morning, that all families experience hurt, but all families can experience healing. A couple was going on vacation, and the wife had already been on a business trip ahead of her husband. And so the husband was going to go to the destination first, and his wife was going to join him the next day. When he reached the hotel, he decided to send his wife a quick email since he arrived first. Unfortunately, he mistyped his wife's email, and the note was directed instead to an elderly preacher's wife whose husband had just passed away the day before. When the grieving widow checked the email, she took one look at the monitor, let out a piercing scream, and fainted. Her family rushed into the room and saw the note on the screen, which read, "Dearest wife, just got checked in. Everything is prepared for your arrival tomorrow. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Now, intentionally or unintentionally, how many know we hurt each other? Everyone has been hurt, and everyone has been on the other end where we have done the hurting. So we all know what it is to hurt, and sometimes it's intentional, and just like this email and this, it's unintentional that we hurt people. And all families do that. But all families can experience healing. Aren't you glad that God is still a healing God? And God is a God who still heals hurts and still heals families. And God wants us to be healthy. And part of being healthy is to model the 10 characteristics and to grow and to learn in them. But then when we do hurt each other, to know how to bring healing to each other. In verse 30, on Wednesday, we looked at Ephesians 4, and I ask you to turn there. Wednesday, we looked at Ephesians 4, and we looked at verses 22 to 29. Now, this morning, we're going to look and continue in Ephesians 4 and look at verse 30, 31, and 32. Just those three verses are going to be our focus this morning. And it begins in verse 30. And so let's take a look at verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 says this. And grieve. Everyone say grieve. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you have been sealed until the day of redemption. In the verses before, which we looked at Wednesday night, it says don't lie to each other. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. There are principles on how to get along in relationships and in family. And then he sums it all up and he says, and on top of that, make sure you don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you would think maybe he's changing directions. Maybe he's changing themes. First, he's talking about getting along people to people. And now he brings the Holy Spirit into it. But let me say this. That word grieve is an interesting word. The word grieve means to puncture or to hurt. How many know the Holy Spirit is a gentleman? And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And how many know the Holy Spirit will never force you to do anything? The Holy Spirit will never force us to do. He will convict, he will encourage, he will challenge, he will lead, he will warn. But how many know he won't force us to change the way we do things or what we do? And so when we resist the Holy Spirit, we grieve him in the sense that we don't allow him to work in our life. We hurt his feelings because he wants to encourage us to do something that God wants. And then when we don't do it, we hurt the heart of God. We hurt the feelings of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people think grieving the Holy Spirit has to do with resisting the spiritual gifts and so forth. Let me clarify something. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19, the Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. Quenching the Holy Spirit has to do with resisting and misusing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy and tongues and all of the gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. But when it comes to grieving the Holy Spirit, that's not dealing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's dealing with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Those interaction relationships that we have with people. Love and joy and peace. And when we don't act in love and peace and joy and long-suffering and patience with each other, see, we're hurting the heart of God because we're not flowing in those fruits of the Holy Spirit. So basically what he's saying is this, is that when we hurt other people, we hurt God. We hurt the Holy Spirit. When I hurt my wife or when I do something in my relationships in my family that causes hurt, how many know we don't just hurt a person, we hurt the Holy Spirit. We hurt the heart of God. We need to understand that. And we need to understand because the Holy Spirit is in me, the Holy Spirit is in each of us, and when we act not like the way God wants us to act, we, in a sense, hurt the heart of God. And we need to understand that because remember in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, and when they lied to the apostles, remember what the Bible says? You have lied to the Holy Spirit. It's not, see, we think we're just dealing with people. I'm just dealing with my brother. I'm just dealing with my sister. I'm just dealing with my spouse. I'm just dealing with my neighbor. No, you see, we're not just dealing with people. We're dealing with the heart of the Holy Spirit and the heart of God. Because how many know my wife is God's daughter, not just my wife? Your husband is not just your husband, it's God's son. Your children are not just your children, they're God's children. And when we hurt them, we hurt the heart of God. And so he says, listen, I want to challenge you to grieve not and to learn how not to puncture, to hurt the feelings of those that God has feelings for as well. Now let me show you a picture that I'm sure is all too familiar in Michigan. How many have ever had a flat tire? So everybody can relate to this. When the Bible says grieve not, though, it means to puncture. Now, I want you to have that picture in your mind because I want to show you something that'll help us to relate to this. Because we all have had a tire that has been punctured. Now, how many understand there are two types usually of flats, generally speaking? One is the slow puncture or the slow deflating, where you run over a nail and maybe it doesn't immediately flatten out right away. How many know over time? One day you just come out in your garage and you go, how'd I get that? Well, just over time, that puncture came a while ago and slowly. Or you ever have a broken seal on your tire where it begins to leak and it slowly leaks and you get a slow deflation or flat tire. But how many know there's also another kind, and that's not only the slow deflation, but how many know there's the sudden deflation? Have you ever hit a pothole? We don't know what those are around here. But we're gonna get our roads fixed now. I'm really happy about that. But never mind. We can go to the moon, we can't fix a pothole. I just am amazed about that. In America, we can do things that are amazing, we can't fix a pothole. But that's neither here nor there. But the point is that if you've ever hit a pothole or if you've ever had a sudden impact, that's another way in which your tire can be deflated and you can have a puncture. And you can experience that. Now, how many know in relationships it's the same way? Sometimes there's those slow leak hurts. Oh, come on. And sometimes there's those sudden impact hurts where slowly we deflate one another, or other times when something major happens and it's just a sudden impact and it knocks all the air out of our hearts and out of our relationships and out of our lives. And I want you to see that regardless of how the hurt comes, God is still a healing God. And God can still heal hurts and can still heal families. And I want you to understand that, and I want you to get that. While we all experience hurt, we can all experience healing in our hearts and in our families. Now, this morning, I want to give you two principles. Verse 31 gives us one, and then verse 32 of Ephesians 4, I want to look at two principles on how we can begin the process and how we can begin to experience healing for the hurts that happen in our relationships. So here's principle number one from verse 31. Stop the hurting. The first thing that we need to do if we have experienced a puncture, a hurt in our relationship, whether it's a slow deflating one or whether it's a sudden impact one, how many know the first thing we have to do if we want to experience healing is we have to stop the hurting? How many know the first thing you got to do is we've got to stop continuing to add insult to injury, and we've got to learn how to stop hurting people? Because how many know hurting people hurt people? And we've got to learn, and the Bible gives us, I believe in verse 31, an insight into how we can stop the hurting cycle. Because it's one thing that we hurt someone and then we feel badly and we say we're sorry and we try to forgive each other and then we go forward and then we keep repeating the same cycle and the same pattern. There's got to be a point where we learn how to stop hurting one another. Maybe we've never learned, maybe we've never taught, maybe we've not figured out, but there's got to be a point where we say, I've got to stop hurting and stop being the one that continues this cycle of hurt. And so I want you to look at verse 31 with me. Because verse 31 sums up the progression or the process or the cycle of how we hurt people. Look at what it says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice be put away from you. Now take a look at that verse, and there's a lot of ugly things in that verse in one sense. But I want you to see something important. I want you to see that in this verse gives us five different stages of this cycle of hurt. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to flip the verse around. It starts with bitterness and ends with malice, but I want you to flip it around in reverse order and go from malice to bitterness, because I want to show you that God gives us insight and says, I want you to understand how we hurt each other, why we hurt each other, and then if we'll understand that, then we can stop it. If we know the different stages, maybe when we're in one of those stages, we'll catch ourselves and we won't go any further and we'll begin to learn how to stop the hurting. Notice the first thing is malice. Then the second thing is evil speaking. Malice is the first stage. That leads to evil speaking. Then evil speaking leads to clamor. Clamor leads to anger. Anger leads to wrath. And wrath leads to bitterness. And when bitterness takes deep root into our heart, how many know that's a poison that kills? Hebrews tells us that. That bitterness, the root of bitterness, is a poison that kills if we don't have the healing remedy for it. And so if we're going to stop the hurting, we have to go back to the first stage and we have to stop the malice. And if we're in the malice stage, then we have to stop at the evil speaking stage. And if we're in the evil speaking stage, we have to learn how to stop going to the clamor stage and so forth. And we've got to learn how to stop the healing. How many are following me this morning? I know this is heavy duty, and I know, but this is important. This is where we live. And I love the fact that the Bible is so practical. First of all, malice. What is malice? What's the malice stage? Malice is not a word we use very often. It's sometimes we hear of it in legal terms, in legal settings. But malice is simply the seeds of hurt and negativity that build up in our heart. It's those little pieces of our heart that get bruised. Oh, come on. How many know we do things all the time, little things that kind of hurt? Little jab here, a little action here, a bad day here, a bad moment here, and we cause a little bit of malice, we cause a little bit of hurt towards someone, and we all, in our heart, when we get bruised, most of us usually shut down and keep it inside and nurse those little hurts and those little wounds, and we keep it to ourselves and we hold on to these little hurts. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? We've all had something or someone do something, maybe intentionally or unintentionally, with malice. And it hurt our heart. It bruised us on the inside. And we're nursing it and we're protecting it. And we keep it to ourselves. We don't want to say anything. And oftentimes in marriages or in families or in relationships, what happens is we don't want to bring up every little thing and every little hurt. And we don't want to get into fights and arguments. And so we shut down and we hold it in and we nurse it and we hold on to it. The seed is planted, though, in our heart of hurt and negativity. You know, if we are at that stage this morning, maybe you're in a relationship, maybe your family is going through something, maybe your marriage or maybe a friendship relationship or whatever, and there's some malice that has taken place, and there's been some hurt exchanged, and your heart is bruised or their heart is bruised, and you've been nursing it and you've been holding on, my suggestion is to go to God today and nip it in this first stage. So it doesn't go on to evil speaking, clamor, anger, wrath, and on to bitterness. If we nip it early, how many know it's easier to heal early? And so the best thing to do is not just nurse it and hold on to it and pamper it and feel bad for yourself and say, I have a right to feel this way, and I might as well just hurt all by myself. Instead of feeling bad for yourself, take that to God or talk to someone or get some help and deal with that in the early stage so it doesn't grow and go further. You know what the Bible says in Luke 4:18? One of the anointings that Jesus came for is to heal the broken and bruised heart. And I want to say something to you. If your heart has been bruised, and some have been bruised more than once, twice, 10 times, 20 times, and we keep it in, we hold it to ourselves, you know what? You turn that bruised and broken heart over to Jesus today. And let him begin to bring the healing balm and the healing process into your heart before it gets out of control and it grows to something else. Malice, the first stage. What's the second stage? Evil speaking. What's evil speaking? Speaking, that's talking badly to or talking badly about the person. Because you know what happens? We get bruised enough on the inside. We get enough of these little seeds, enough of these little hurts, that you know what happens? They build up. We keep it in. We shut down. We don't talk about it. We close off. We nurse it. We hold on to it. And then you know what happens? Is after a while, how many know your heart can only handle so much hurt? And after a while, it builds up and you get so full on the inside that guess what? It has to come out. And guess how it's going to come out? Out of our mouth. And all of a sudden now, the things that we nursed and we protected and we held on now start manifesting themselves in our words. We start saying things, that's what evil speaking is, we start saying things that kind of are filtered through the hurt that's already in our heart. What does the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If there's a lot of hurt in there, guess what's going to come out of the mouth? Hurt. If there's good in the heart, the Bible says, well, good things will come out. And listen, it's not that we mean to be mean. Did you catch that? It's not that we mean to be mean, but sometimes we don't even catch ourselves because the hurt is there. And before you, that's how you begin to know that the hurt has gotten too much inside, when it starts manifesting by what we're saying. If you start catching yourself saying these little mean zingers, if you start catching yourself, start saying certain things that are hurtful words, Before, you were protecting it. You were keeping it inside. Now it's starting to grow, and now it's starting to manifest itself in our words. If you're, how many know not only words, but how about body language? We didn't say anything, but we just give them one of these. Or how about this? They say something to you, and you know you're hurt inside, and you give them one of these. Talk to the hand, right? This is real. This is where we live. You see, it's words, it's body language, it's a look. How about the silence, which is not golden? Not only do we talk badly in the evil speaking stage to them, but here's what's even worse. We start talking badly about them to other people. We see our girlfriend say, you know, my husband, he's a real piece of work. Or, you know, my wife, you see another guy and say, you know, my wife, she's a real piece of work. Or, you know, my kids, they just drive me crazy. They, you know, and we start, that, see, the evil speaking starts because there's junk in our heart. And we start talking badly about them. We start talking badly about them to the rest of our family. Oh, boy. We start talking badly about them to people at work, at other people in the family, other friends. We may even find a couple of friends who are in the same hurt that we are, and we sit around and talk about how bad the other people are. Listen, if we're at that stage, nip it. Still early. Still early. It hasn't gotten to the bitterness. It hasn't gotten to the extreme yet. Stop it there. Recognize where you are and stop the hurting. Begin to realize that that's what's happening and begin to change what we say and how we talk and what we do. The third stage, notice you move from malice to evil speaking to clamor. Now, what the heck is clamor? Clamor is a King James word, obviously, that simply means noise. Noise. You see, what happens is you get the little hurts in the heart, little pieces of our heart get bruised. It builds up enough, it starts coming out of our mouth. And then you know what happens when we start talking to family and friends and everybody else? You know what happens is then they start chiming in with their opinions. And you get a lot of noise around you. You get a lot of experts telling you, you know, I would have just dumped them anyways. That's noise. That's clamor you don't need. What you don't need when you're in the middle of a battle is for someone to say, you know what, you should have dumped them 12 years ago. Noise. Or how about this one? You tell your family members and someone comes along and said, you know, I told you you shouldn't have married him in the first place. That's noise you don't need. That's clamor. Stop listening to the noise. Stop listening to the experts that are telling you that, you know what, it never will work, it'll never figure out, you shouldn't have done this, blah, blah, blah. Stop listening to all the noise. That noise is not going to help you heal. That's just going to feed the hurt. That just feeds the hurt. I was talking with a young lady, this was a long time ago, you don't know who she is. She came to me one day, and she said to me, Pastor, I think I need to get a divorce. I said, all right. What happened? I said, what's been going on? She said, well, it's just this, this, and there's just a lot of that. I said, but what is the trigger here? I know there's things that have built up. I know there's a lot of things that you brought up examples to, and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm sure you're not perfect either, but let's forget about you and him, and let's just... What's brought this on? And as we talked, we begin to break it down to the fact that for the last 8 months, since she's been kind of battling with her husband and different things, she started having lunch with four friends who were divorced every week for 8 months. And guess what? The noise she was hearing. You can imagine, here's a woman who's already vulnerable, already going through a difficult time. And she's having lunch every day with four friends who are all divorced, telling her how wonderful it is. Meanwhile, they're hurting. Telling her all this. Guess what? After 8 months of being around that noise, she talked herself right into something. Stop the noise. The clamor stage is where we start taking in all these other information and all this other noise from everybody else. The fourth stage then, what happens is it starts with the seeds and the bruises in our heart. Then it starts coming out of our mouth. And then we start listening to all the noise. And then what happens is it leads to anger. Anger is something we all know what it is, something we all experience. Anger is that we're always irritated and we're always aggravated. If you're at that point where no matter what happens, even when something good happens, you can get irritated. Even when things are going pretty well, you can figure out a way to sabotage it and make it an aggravation. If you're at that point, then we're progressing in this cycle that we need to stop the hurting. Anger goes beyond words now. Now it's not we hit them with a little zinger. Now things start getting escalated. May even become physical. Throwing things, slamming things. Maybe even violent things can happen at this stage. We've got to be careful. The progression builds. And we've got to understand this progression so we can stop the hurting and stop the cycle. We start lashing out, doing hurtful and spiteful things. That's dangerous. And then anger leads to wrath. What's wrath? Wrath is just an elevated, escalated version of anger. Wrath is now where we've let out all the stops. And hostility and volatility is just getting out of control. And then what happens? It leads to bitterness. The root of bitterness that is a poison that, listen, if we don't get some help with it, it will kill. Hebrews 12:15 tells us, again, that the root of bitterness is a poison that hurts. Now, you say, why do I talk about that? Because you know what? I love the fact that the Bible is honest about how we live. There isn't a person here who can't relate to that. There isn't a person here who doesn't star in that movie. Including this pastor. The key is not that we're perfect and we don't do those things. The key is we learn to figure out where we are and learn to stop things earlier and earlier and earlier and deal with the hurt sooner and quicker and better. And when we do, guess what? We can stop the cycle. It'll never get to the point. Hopefully, what we do is we learn not to ever let it get to the point where we can't stop the hurting. So how do we begin to experience God's healing in relation? We have to stop the hurting. But how many know there's good news? Not only do we have to stop the hurting, how many know we have to start the healing? Once we stop the hurting and we are more aware of our own actions and we're more aware of human nature, which we all experience, once we are more aware of that, now we have to, once we're doing better at learning to control these different areas in the cycle, then we have to start healing. It's not just enough to stop the hurting. That's important. But then we also have to do some positive things to begin to bring healing. We have to open our heart to God's healing power. And what we have to do is just like that punctured tire, we have to not only seal off the hole or fix the seal in the tire, what we have to do is then reinflate it. Listen, it's one thing to get deflated. And once you stop the deflation, how many know, eventually you have to start pumping good air in. And you have to start pumping good inflation in there. That's what starting the healing is. Starting the healing is start doing things that will put good air into your relationship. We know what causes the bad air and the deflation. Now, what causes inflating and what causes healing in our relationship? Look at verse 32. Verse 32 gives us three steps. Again, notice the progression for healing. Just like you don't wake up one day and you're hurt overnight, it was a process. How many know you just don't heal overnight? How many know if you've been hurt enough and there's been a process of hurt, how many know you just don't wake up one day and God doesn't just wave his hand one day and all of a sudden everything's perfect? Doesn't always work that way. It's a process of inflating and positive things and good things. And there are three things. This time it's in the order in the verse. And be kind. Everybody say kind. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, say tender-hearted. And forgiving, say forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Notice the three healing stages. Just like there are five hurting stages, there are three healing stages. Number one, the first stage is kindness. Kindness or healing talk. Healing talk. My suggestion to you today, if you're hurt, and if you're in the middle of a hurt relationship, if you're in a situation that whatever, whether it's been a short time or a long time, whether it's been a slow leak or whether it's been a sudden impact leak in your relationship and hurt, whatever it is, I'm not suggesting to you that you can all of a sudden one day just come to one church service, hear one message, pray a prayer, although we're going to pray for people today and pray for healing. How many know that's the beginning part of it? But how many know you have to start doing some things, and the first thing we can all start doing is being more kind. Maybe you're not ready to forgive yet. Maybe you're not ready to completely move forward. Maybe you're not past it yet. But everybody can start with kindness. Healing talk. Can I say something to you very important? How many know there are some words that are healing words? Kindness is a healing way. Can I say something? When we act kind, guess what we get back? Say, well, I've been kind and I'm not getting, just keep being kind. I was telling someone a story the other night about a couple. They were having some serious problems and they came to a counselor to get some counsel. And the counselor sent them home and gave them an assignment. Said, both of you take a box. Write on slips of paper the things that bother you about the other person, put it in the box after a week, and at the end of the week, pull the things out and talk about them. So they did that for a week. You've seen them all week, writing these little slips of paper, putting it in their box. Each other's looking at each other's box, I'm sure, going, what do you got in the box? At the end of the week, they opened the box of one of the partners, and on every slip of paper, they wrote, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to tell you, in the other box, there was all kinds of other stuff. But guess what? When the one read the box of all the I love yous, they threw their box away. You see, there's something about healing words, kindness, words that can begin to change. Will it solve everything in one moment? No. Will it change 20 years of bad history? No. Will it make everything all right? Just that? No, but it's a start. And it begins to change the climate and the culture when they're healing. Look at what 1 Peter says. Finally, be of one mind. Have compassion one for another. Love as family. Be kind. Notice this. And be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. Don't fight back with, you get angry, they get angrier. You get loud, they get louder. Instead of the hurting cycle, start the healing cycle. You be kind, they'll be kind. You be kinder, they'll become kinder. You continue to be kind, and kindness will begin to grow. Look at that word courteous. I would venture to say, I would give you an assignment today, whether you're married, you got kids, you got a family, whatever your situation is. If you would just take a week and start today, and for an entire week, focus on saying, please, thank you, I'm sorry, excuse me, I appreciate that, I appreciate you. Start saying some kind. Remember courtesy? Come on. Common courtesy. Simple words like please. Just because you're lovers and your family doesn't mean you stop saying please. Instead of, would you get that for me? How about, would you please hand me that? How many know there's a whole big difference? All about climate, tone, words. Please, thank you, I'm sorry, excuse me. Sorry, I got in your way. Instead of just knocking them over, healing words, little things. I liked what Rick shared today about, you know, little thing like saying thank you. How many know that's a little thing that goes a long way? I told the story on Wednesday night about when I got the opportunity to teach the kindergarten class at Westwood Elementary one day. And I got to read the kids a story, and the story was all about saying thank you. And I sent the kids home with an assignment. I said, all you kindergartens want to help me, raise your hand. They all want to help. I said, now go home, and if your mom makes dinner, your dad makes dinner, your grandma makes dinner, whoever, I want you to go up to them, give them a hug, and say thank you for making dinner. How many know the next day the principal, Mrs. Doobie of Westwood, said she got so many phone calls from parents saying, what are you teaching my kids in kindergarten? Some parents said that's the first time they ever had a kid say thank you. I'll tell you what, one mom gets one thank you for what she does all the time that everybody takes for granted. And sometimes, more times than not, we only say something when it's bad. Ah, you burnt it again, huh? Is that the only thing you know how to make? Oh, boy. How about thanks for making hamburger for the fourth night in a row? Can you imagine? You know what? A mom could live a long time on one thank you. Your husband, your wife, your kids could go a long way on one kind word. Start with kindness. Listen, you don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to be perfect, but everybody can show a little kindness. That's where it starts. Doesn't solve everything, but guess what that does? That begins to change the heart. That begins to change the words. That begins to change the cycle and start reversing the hurting cycle and start moving into the healing cycle. Look at, you know, Proverbs says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We know this. We have the ability with our words to hurt. And we also have the ability to heal. Life, not just death, but life is in the power of the tongue. What's the second thing? The first thing is kindness. What's the second thing? He said, be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Tenderness. The healing tone. Not only kindness, once we start getting the kindness, and listen, can I tell you what? It takes a little while to get in the habit of being kind. Because how many know it doesn't come natural? You have to work at it. Do that for a week, and then after you get that down and you start getting in the kindness cycle, then move on to the next one and start being tenderness. Tenderness has to do with healing tone. Not just the words we say, but now this begins to take on the temperature and the climate and the tone. Because how many know it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. Think of this a moment. We're either a thermometer or a thermostat. You know what a thermometer does? It checks the temperature that exists. What does a thermostat do? It controls the temperature, up or down. Let's not be thermometers. Let's be thermostats. If we see that the temperature is getting too warm in the household, dial it down with tenderness. Not only the words, but the actions. Start turning it down. How many know just turning the temperature down a little bit helps? Makes things more comfortable. Again, it doesn't solve everything, doesn't fix everything. But what it does is it begins to change the climate. And when the heart begins to change with kindness and the climate around us begins to change with tenderness, guess what? We're on our way for healing. We're on our way and we're opening our life up for God to do some healing process in our life. Look at this, Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a grievous one stirs up anger. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but a vicious one breaks the spirit. Grievousness and viciousness. When we start thinking things are getting a little bit too out of control, things are getting a little too vicious, things are getting a little too loud, things are getting a little too hot, be the thermostat, be the one that says, you know what, I got to turn this down a little. we got to cool things off. And we begin to change the climate around it. Kindness changes the climate in our heart. Tenderness changes the climate around us. And then that leads to what's the third thing? The third thing is forgiveness. Now listen, forgiveness is a major healer, but forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is complicated. And forgiveness doesn't always happen overnight. But God can help us to make the decision to heal and then to carry through in that process of healing. Be kind, he says, then be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Notice, for Christ's sake, who forgave us. Can I say something before you immediately say, well, that's it, that's where I get off. I can do the kindness, I might even be able to do a little bit of tenderness, but I can't forgive. Before you close the door and say, I'll never be able to forgive, let me share with you an important verse. The Bible says this, if we don't forgive others their trespasses, God will not forgive us our trespasses. So let me just warn you, before you close the door, listen, even if you only keep 1% open that you can heal, keep that 1% open because I want to that you can forgive. Because I want to tell you something, if you close the door and say, I'm never going to do that, then you better hope you never mess up. Now that may be hard and straightforward, but that's the truth. Before you say, I'm never, be careful. And guess what? I want to have an ace card in my wallet just in case I screw up, because I'm going to need it someday, and so are you. So before you close the door, now listen, I didn't say it's easy. And I didn't say you can just automatically today say, oh, that's it. Today I'm just going to decide I'm going to forgive and move on. I understand it doesn't work that way. I understand it's more complicated than that. I understand it takes time. I understand it's a process. And let me just say something important about forgiveness. You see, by saying and making the decision, I'm going to begin to open my heart to forgiveness. I'm not there yet. I may not be ready to go all in yet on it, but I'm at least going to make the decision before God and say, God, I'm going to try. I've tried some kindness. I built up some good faith and goodwill with kindness. I built up a little bit more goodwill and good faith with tenderness. It may take a while. Now I feel like I'm making some progress. I'm now open to begin the forgiveness cycle and the forgiveness process. Listen, what you're saying when you're open to forgiveness is not that it's okay. Please understand something. When I say I choose to forgive, I'm not saying what they did to me is okay. It's not okay. I'm not saying that they're off the hook. They're not off the hook. How many know there's still consequences and God can deal with that? You're not saying it's okay. You're not saying they're off the hook. What you are saying is I'm going to trust God. That's why when I put up on the screen, kindness is the healing talk. Tenderness is the healing talk. Forgiveness is the healing trust. Because what forgiveness is I can't do this by myself, and I'm not really equipped and really able to do this by myself. But with God's help, I'm going to, by an act of faith, ask God to help me heal. And help me forgive, because it's going to take all the trust I can in God to do that. Listen, you're not putting trust in the other person. You're not putting trust even in yourself to forgive. You're putting trust in God to help you forgive. And I want to tell you something. It takes an act of faith. Because you know what? None of us feel like forgiving. None of us want to forgive. It takes an act of faith where I say, okay, God, I don't like it. I don't want to. I don't even know if I'm ready for it. But by faith, I'm going to ask you to begin to put within my heart the ability, with your help, to forgive. And then God can help us do that. Now, I showed you the hurting cycle. We've got to stop that. I showed you the healing cycle. We need to start that. Even if you're not ready to get to that third level of forgiveness, maybe you're not even ready to get to the level of tenderness. How many know everybody could start with kindness? They can always start with kindness. Now here's the bottom line. Here's the conclusion. God still heals hurts. And God still heals families. Sometimes God does some amazing stuff in just changing our heart immediately. And sometimes it takes a long time. And that's okay. You don't have to feel bad if you're not exactly where you want to be in the process. But what you need to do is stay open to God. Because he's the only one that can help us heal. And he's the only one that can help us stop the hurt. And so today, what I want to ask you to do is to not only let the Holy Spirit speak to you about the hurting cycle and where you are there and say, look, wherever I am, I need to stop right here, not let it go any further. And I'm going to turn that hurt over to God. Wherever stage you are, maybe you're even at the fifth stage, it's bitterness and it's poison, and you think there's no hope and you think it's over. You know what? How many know even there God can heal? If you'll turn it over, turn that hurt over to him today. I'm not saying it'll all go away in a moment. I'm not saying all of a sudden you're going to feel so wonderful. But you know what? You can at least take a breath and say, God's going to help me and I'm going to allow him to work in my heart to bring some healing. So turn the hurt over to God and then ask God to help you begin to be kind and tender and even be open to forgiving. If we can do that, we can begin moving things in a good direction. No family, no person is perfect. How many know we're all flawed like this? And we all need God's help. Aren't you glad he wants to help us? And aren't you glad he can still help us? I don't care where you're at, God can heal. He's still a healer today. And if we'll trust him and we'll open our heart and at least take a small step today to say, I'm going to stop and turn the hurt over and I'm going to start to begin to move in a positive direction, I'll tell you what, you're on the road to beginning to move toward the healing that God has. Please bow your head with me, close your eyes.